Super. Good. Please take your seats. Good morning, one and all. How are we? Very good. Excellent. Well, I thought we'd carry on a little bit with this series, if that's okay. If not me, then who? And I'm going to be just sharing some. I was reading through again, you know, because after the third one, I thought kind of that would be the end of the series. But I just love Nehemiah. So I've been reading a little bit more, and the cat did a little bit more. So we're going to look a little bit further. Are you okay with that? That's probably just as well. So for those of you who've not been about, you can go on to our website, the TCC Life, and go on to the podcast and listen to the previous 1, 2, and 3 of this series. And I would expect that if you do that, you will be blessed, if not challenged, and to change. How many know God is changing us for good? And so here we are on part 4, and maybe just taking a little bit of a different tack this morning, but for those of you who've not been around, this is the story of a guy that God called Nehemiah to go back to his homeland and to rebuild the walls of the city. Not just to physically rebuild some walls, but to rebuild the name of God in the place, to reestablish the name. And that's kind of the story. But I want to read you a number of verses from chapter 4 this morning, if I may. When they started to build this wall, there was a lot of opposition that came. There usually is when something's being constructed. How many know the critics turn up when something's being constructed? And that's what happened here as well. And so in Nehemiah 4, let me read the first 10 verses. Try and catch what's going on here. And then I will bring some stuff to you. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Nehemiah. It says, when Sanballat, he was one of the enemies of what God was doing and of Nehemiah. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. I want you to understand something. When you're doing something for God, when you're trying to do something constructive for God, the enemy will always try and put you down. He will always try and ridicule you. Bible said he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble as burned as they are? Here are another couple of enemies. How many know when you just get one, another couple show up? Tobiah and the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building anyway? Even a fox climbing up on the wall would break down their walls of stones. Here we go, ridicule again. So then they cry out to God. How many know it's good when the enemy attacks to cry out to God? Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from their sight or from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. How many know you don't touch God builders? Verse 6 says, so we rebuilt the wall. Thank God. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. So they'd not finished, they were halfway there. How many know that sometimes when we're halfway there, the devil has a good go because he doesn't want us to finish? So we rebuilt the wall to half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, here we go, more and more enemies, the Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. I bet they were. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. We should expect trouble when we do good things for God. Verse 9 says, but we prayed. It says, but we prayed. How do you know there's power in prayer? We prayed to our God. And also something very practical, we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, listen to this. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. So here's what I have to say to you today. You know, in this passage, I don't know whether you noticed, there's an awful lot of rubble. There's an awful lot of waste, or what seems like waste. There's an awful lot of rubbish. And I want to state the obvious this morning and say that in life, in this room, in this town, in this region, there's a lot of rubble. What I'm saying is there is a lot of pain going around. Would you agree? Some of you are the recipients of that pain. And I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I would say this, all pain hurts. All pain hurts, but not all pain is the same. Yeah. Hear me. It all hurts, but it's not all the same. So when we look at this simple story in Nehemiah 4, let me point something out to you. It's pretty clear that there's plenty of debris in this story. At the front end and at the back end, it speaks about the rubble. But hear this. Some of the debris that they needed to get rid of. So there was some rubbish, there was some stones, some debris that they needed to get rid of. Now, here's the point that I want you to see and I want to make, is that there is other debris. Everyone say, other debris. There is other debris within this story that, hear me, that became the material for their progress. So we've got some rubbish that they needed to get rid of, and there was some building material amongst the stuff that was there. This is what I'm saying. Hear me when I say this. There is some rubble, some pain, maybe some stuff in your life that is disposable. You are not supposed to carry it. Some of us are carrying some pain and some stuff that is of the sort that we need to get rid of right now. It is not yours to carry. You may have carried this pain for years. It is no longer your pain to carry. It is your pain to dispose of. And so there is some rubble in your life that is disposable, and some other pain in your life that is usable. Wow. I'd have never thought that you say that there's some pain in my life that is usable. I would have thought you'd have said you need to chuck it all in the skip and move on. Well, I want to tell you, not all pain is the same. But as I read this story, I recognize this. It's possible to recycle your pain to build your life. Not all pain is for you to dispose of. Some stuff is there for you to use. Let me say a couple of quick things about pain and you know, what pain does. And there are lots of things, of course, that pain creates. usually not very nice. But let me give you a couple of things. Number one, pain always takes us somewhere. If you have pain in your life, if things happen in your world, if stuff happens in your life, it always takes you somewhere. Even if it's the road to nowhere, it takes you somewhere. And I thought, rather than just say that, let me bring what is more of a question on the back of that, that is far more important than recognizing that your pain takes you somewhere. You say, Dave, I know it takes me somewhere. I still feel the pain as you speak. So this is the question. Not that we just recognize that pain always takes us somewhere, but here's a question. But where will we allow our pain to leave us? Not just where it's taken you, but where will we allow that pain to leave us? The second thing that pain does is pain always teaches us something. It's true, and we could say so much about this, but let me just give you a psalm. Let me give you a verse out of a psalm. This is what the psalmist writes about this that I'm mentioning. Pain always teaches us something. Psalm 119, verse 71 says this. It was good. Everyone say it was good. You don't know what you're saying good to yet. It was good for me to be afflicted. Would you ever say that? It was good for me to be afflicted. Well, the psalmist wrote, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. How many know that God is doing some stuff? We learn some stuff through the pain that we go through. Now here's the deal. Maybe there's some rubble in your life right now that you need to get rid of. Let's look at that for a few minutes. There may be some pain and some stuff that's happened recently, a circumstance that you're in that is causing you discomfort and pain, maybe something that happened a long time ago, a circumstance that is a reality in your life that you are carrying the pain from a long time ago. Maybe this is a more recent pain, but you feel that pain as I speak. Maybe you have some of that rubble in your life. Well, verse 10 of this passage that I read to you said this. There was so much rubble that they couldn't build. There was so much rubble in the way that despite the fact that they wanted to build, despite the fact that they wanted to do something with their lives, they couldn't build because of the amount of the rubble. How many know something needed to be shifted? Yeah? Something needed to be moved. And I reckon this. I don't know if you're like me or feel anything like me when I've been through some pain and some difficult circumstances, some very difficult seasons in life. But I think this, that when we hold on to our pain, which we often do, we carry it with us. Instead of getting rid of it, we carry the pain with us. This is what it does. It holds us back. It holds us back. When we carry that stuff in life, God wants to take us forward. It holds us back. Again, this may just be me this morning, but when I'm carrying pain, it makes me tired. And I get weary. Because I'm carrying some stuff that I'm not supposed to carry. When you're carrying a rucksack full of rocks, you get tired after a while. You know, it's easier to carry a rucksack full of feathers any day of the week. And we carry these rocks, and God kind of says they're disposable items. That this is some pain that you've had or that you have, but you're not supposed to carry that pain through life. And it wearies you, it tires you, it burdens you, it breaks you. I think when we carry that kind of pain, it often takes us into what I would term make-believe.
When we've carried pain long enough, when it's hurting, we start to live in this land of make-believe. And I think this is very much linked to verse 3. Let me remind you of that, where this enemy, Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at the side of Sanballat, his fellow enemy of the Jews, and he said, "What they are building, even if a fox climbed onto the wall, it would break their walls of stone down." How many know that's just absolute ridicule? Like, even if a fox, you know, imagine you just spent all this time building a wall, building something of success and significance, and they say, you know what, if a fox went on it, it would knock it over. That's how rubbish the stuff is that you're trying to do in your life. Some of us, when we're carrying pain, we live in make-believe and we start to believe the lies of the ridicule of the enemy. We start to believe that stuff. Oh my, I've tried before and I failed, and people say, you know, it was rubbish, and they put me down, and they don't like what I do or who I am, and they say all kinds of stuff. And we all get those people. Thank God for people who come like Barnabas in the scripture and encourage you. How many know there's lots of others who just want to diss what you're doing and who you are? Trouble is, when we carry that pain and we actually start to believe the lies of the enemy, it wears us down. It makes us tired. We start to believe the lies, the words that were spoken over us. Some of you remember those words, maybe even recent words, that someone said that really hurt. And you still carry that today. Maybe some stuff that was said to you a long, long time ago. But for years, every time you hear certain words, it brings you back to a time that those people said that stuff over you. It wasn't true, but you believe it. Make believe. We hear and listen to the ridicule of the enemy. Or we start to believe the stuff that happened to us. You know, we're never going to make anything good, because every time we try, something comes against us. It's like the enemy comes and starts to ridicule us every time we try. So we just think, what is the point? Does this make sense this morning? My point is that we succumb to ridicule. We succumb to ridicule. Yeah, with all the scriptures that we know. We can quote the Bible, and sometimes we do. And in our lives, because of the pain that we're carrying, we succumb to the ridicule of the enemy. I would say this, if you feel like that this morning, and very often we can, many of us can feel this way, and when we've carried pain or we're carrying pain, we don't want to carry it, but it's there. I think there's got to come a shift. I said there's got to come a movement. We've got to shift some stuff. We've got to shift some stuff out of our life. We've got to move some things. We've got to throw some things. We've got to dispose of some pain that God says this is no longer yours to carry. Well, Dave, it's not that easy. You see, when you're carrying pain like I carry it, it's not easy just to say, just get rid of it. Just throw it in the skip on the way out, you know. Let's get a box and let's throw all our hurts in there, and we go away and woo till we get home. And then we recognize someone says something and it still hurts. You see what I'm saying? Don't just tell me to throw that away. I understand what you're saying, Dave. It's disposable. I'm not supposed to carry it, but how do I just throw it away? Do you know what I thought? I thought, yeah, it's disposable. The only way we can dispose of that is to actually bring that rubbish, that stuff, and bring it and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Because, you know, in my head, I can throw it away in my head and think, yeah, I can do all things through Christ, strengthens me.
And I can have a holy moment and a faith moment and say, I will never carry that pain again. You know, I take on the feathers. I get rid of the rocks out of my rucksack. And then I go and something happens and it seems like the pain is still there. The only way that I can truly dispose of that stuff is if I go to the feet of Jesus and I lay that pain before him, because how many know he carried pain? If I go and even if I kneel and I say, God, I lay this at your feet. Do you know what? I've got to have some healing. I've got to say, God, I understand that I can just lay this stuff down at your feet, but I need you to touch me. I need your healing. You know, some of us, we're carrying pain that we've never been healed from. We've never allowed God just to touch us. You know, when God sovereignly touches our lives, when we open up and we say, God, here's my pain. Here's my pain, and it's not what you want me to carry. I'm going to lay it at your feet. So we need to allow God's Spirit to touch and heal us. Now, you know what? That may happen in a moment's time. Because how many know God can do in a moment that it takes 10 years of counseling? And I'm not against that stuff. Believe me, that's not what I'm not preaching against that stuff. Some of us need some counseling. So I'm not speaking against that. I'm speaking for Jesus and saying that God can do in a moment. He can bring healing in a moment. And there are some times that we have to keep coming back to the feet of Jesus. We just have to keep coming back. Because what if we come to his feet and we still hurt? Does that mean it didn't work? No, it means, God, we're going to be persistent. We're going to be consistent. We're going to come at the feet of Jesus if it needs to be every day. So that he can bring healing. He's the great healer. We needn't be looking to each other. You know, like in a prayer line. Oh, I hope she don't pray for me. Look at her face. She's not much faith. I hope he prays for me because he's a man of God. That's what you think. And we can do all that. And we can even travel around and let this one pray for you and that one pray for you. You know, they've got a gift in that. And hey, cool. But there's nothing like the touch of Jesus. There's nothing like the healing touch of God when we open up our lives to him. You know, some of us, we try and deal with the hurt ourselves. Try and contain it. You know? Say to ourselves, Dave, get over yourself. Well, okay, well, get over ourselves. Don't mean we're healed. What about the healing of God? Does that make sense? Have I nailed that enough? Can I move on? Okay. All right, so let me finish that bit by telling you the story of Rod. So Rod was in a light aircraft, true story. Rod was in this light aircraft that they'd hired, so a Cessna or something, just a 2-3-man plane. And basically, they're pretty high up. The engine fails and therefore stalls. How many know you pray when that happens? So they're coming down at a fair rate of knots. And the story goes that they begin to feel the trees brushing against the underside of the undercarriage. How many know you really start to panic at this point? And Rod, with his friends, knew that they were going to crash. And came the moment where impact came on the ground and they started to slide, you know. And Rod was sat next to a door on the aircraft, and as impact came to the earth, the door flew off, and he was thrown from the plane into this dirt, I'm sure got a mouthful, and within a very short period of time was unconscious. So that's the scenario, that's what was going on there. And as he lay there, he gives this story after, which kind of gives, spoiler alert, he gives this story of what happened, that he was lay there and he heard a voice. And it wasn't his friends, they'd already died. But he heard this voice as he lay on the floor, as the flames were coming, and as he describes, the flames were licking his skin and burning his body. And he heard these words that said this: if you stay here, you will die. Pretty obvious, God. If you stay here, you will die. And he heard it again. If you stay here, you will die. And he began to think, obviously, in his subconscious and all this stuff going on, I can't die. I've got a family here. I can't die. I've got a wife. I've got a job. I've got a destiny in God. A believer, he was. I've got things in God that I need. I can't die. Voice kept coming. If you stay here, you will die. And he mustered up all the energy and power that he had left and cried out to God to give him strength to get out of that situation. And the guy survived. 25% burns on his body. He came through all that, went back to work, went back to church community, and got on with what God was telling him to do and to be. So a great story of deliverance, but came through this thought of, if you stay here, you will die. I want to say to some of you, if not all of you this morning, there are some places you find yourself in that if you stay here, you will die. If you stay in that hurt, if you stay in that pain, remember the question that I asked before, not just about pain teaching you something or taking you somewhere. It's where are you going to allow that pain to leave you? I'm saying if you stay here, you will die. How many know it's time to get up and move on from the pain? And I'm saying that Jesus is still the healer. He's still the healer. Now let me move on quickly now to something else about. So we've talked about pain that is disposable. What about the other stuff? There's other stuff that we're going to look at in a moment in this scripture. You know, so there was rubble there that was stopping them building. Clearly, they had to move it out of the way. I mean, you know, they had to shift that stuff to build. So some of us have got to shift some stuff out of our life. But then there's something else in here, and another side to this, that simply this: there is rubble in your life that is rubbish, and it is painful that you can use for good. I'm saying you can use it for good. Verse 2 of Nehemiah says this. Speaking of Sanballat here, and in his presence of his associates, so this is the enemy, of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing?" I want you to hear this now. "Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life?" Isn't it interesting that the Word of God speaks of us as lively stones, living stones? "Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned?" Everyone say burned. "Burned as they are." So let me tell you something. They rebuilt the walls with burnt stones. Maybe I should emphasize that a bit more. The walls that they rebuilt to the name of God in the city to bring back his name and to reestablish the physical walls were built out of burnt stones. They weren't straight from the quarry, brand new. Cut, hewn, ready, let's go. They were burnt stones. I want you to see that. You know, God builds things with burnt stuff. He creates some stuff with imperfect things and imperfect people. What am I saying? There's hope for us. They rebuilt it with burnt stones. This is what I'm saying. They used their pain for gain. They used it. And I want you to consider the pain of your life. Some of it you need to dispose of. Some of it you need to use. It is usable stuff. You see, the stuff that they thought was useful for nothing because it has been in a fire. It had been burnt down. It was the mockery of the city. They'd burnt the city down and the stones were burned. Who would ever think of reusing that stuff? The stuff they thought that was useful for nothing became the building blocks for their future. That's what happened. And this is what I think for you this morning, for us this morning. That there is some pain in your life, some experiences that you've been through or are going through, that God wants to use to forge your future. When I tell you often, that doesn't make sense. God, how on earth could I feel like I feel right now? And you tell me this is how you're going to create my future. God, can it not be one of those disposable ones? Can it not be one of those that you just take away and throw into the sea of forgetfulness? Can you not just do that, God, so that I don't have to think about that pain? You're telling me that it's going to forge my future. I've discovered this in my life. And you can speak for your life, but do you know what? There's nothing as powerful as your own story. See, people can't argue with your own story. They can argue theology, doesn't mean this, it means that. People can argue about life and about opinion and about politics and about the world and about who should lead it and all of that stuff everyone has their opinions on. But you can't argue with someone's story. And I've discovered this. What a discovery that people want me for my pain far more than for my practices. I don't get people ringing up from different parts of the world and different parts of the country to say, Dave, tell me about the practices. Tell me about how you do this or how you do that or how you lead church in this way. Or you know, we don't get the leaders of the churches ringing up for that kind of stuff. The practices, which is all good and all fine and all necessary. 95%, if not more, percent of people that contact me and want my time is to do with my pain, not the stuff that I've gained. Does that make sense? So they ask things like, how did you transition church? They know the pain. They hear of the pain. They hear stuff and they want to know, how did you get through that pain? How did you take the church from where it was to where it is now? What did that look like? Or how did you deal with that conflict when it came in the life of the church? Because in our church, it seems like all hell has broken out and I need some help. How did you deal with that stuff? You know what? They're not coming for the practices. They're coming for the pain. They're coming to understand pain to help them get through it. They're coming to understand whether there's some stuff that they have to throw away that's disposable, or maybe some stuff that's usable. You see, they do that. They ask those questions knowing that there is often a route of pain that leads you to progress. there is often a root of pain that takes us to where we need to go. I'm saying this, that, and this may be for you as well, that my usefulness to others is often found in my experiences of the pain in my life. That's it. Understand that your pain can be of use to people. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I feel like, wow, I didn't really want to hear that. But you know what? Maybe that's just what we need to hear. That the pain of our lives supports and helps others. It's about the refiner's fire. You heard of that? Refiner's fire, where all impurities, all stuff is taken out by the measure that it's burned and the temperature that we can stand in that. God takes us through his refiner's fire so that he brings us out as someone that we can present, someone he can present as in his grace. I believe this is what happens when we make the decision to recycle the rubbish in our lives. That's what happens. I want to tell you something. Your pain counts for something. Did you hear me? I said your pain counts for something. It's not all disposable. Some of the pain that you've been through and are going through is usable pain. I believe this, turning our hurts into trophies of grace. Could anything good come out of burnt stones in Jerusalem? Could anything good come out of the mess that you've been in? Out of the pain that you've suffered and endured? Out of the circumstance that you wish you could forget? Is there any good that could ever come out of the hurt? I believe that you can stand as a trophy of God's grace. And then this is what I think, beyond the healing, because you know there's a healing process. You know that. Some of you need to come into that healing process. Stop carrying that pain on your own that God never intended that you would carry. God is a healer. He wants to heal and start to heal and bring restoration to your life, turning you into a trophy of grace. And then beyond the healing, and maybe, band, just come up and help me a minute, would you? We're going to sing. You're okay with singing at the back end of the gathering, are you? That's good. So as these guys just come and set up, let me say this to you. Continue to listen for a few moments. Beyond that healing, or even during that healing process, let me tell you something about our scars. Some of you, because of your pain, have got physical scars. You know, some of your scars are kind of inside. They're not seen, but they really hurt. And they're there, they're marked. For others of you, you've got visible scars. By the nature of physical pain that you've been through. So you get the understanding of what I'm saying. I'm talking across the board here and saying, beyond healing, this is what I believe about our scars. Our scars serve as the reminder of the miracle. That's what happens. The miracle of God's grace working in our lives. If you like the charred stones, just like those charred stones, you know that they built the walls with? They become, as a reminder, just like those charred stones that stood as a memorial of the restoration beyond the fire. In the same way, we stand with our scars as a reminder of the miracle. And so as we're in the presence of God this morning, and I believe God's here to touch our lives. Don't you? I want us to stand together. Come on, let's stand in the presence of God. And we're just going to sing together. And I want you to understand that, you know what, we sing these words and we declare some stuff about God, and we just begin now to open up our hearts to God. Because this is what I believe we need to do. There are many of us here this morning that need to say, do you know what? I hadn't realized there was some stuff that was no longer mine to carry. That I'm carrying some pain that really I don't believe God wants or needs me to carry. And I just want to bring it to the feet of Jesus. And as I bring that pain in whatever that looks like to you, as I bring that, I'm saying, God, I lay this before you, and I'm asking you, God, to start this healing process in my life. God, the one who is the healer, not any man, not any woman, not however helpful these people are, God, have got your touch. The touch of Jesus is something special. And I want you to come and just lay it before God and say, God, and maybe just reach out to him and say, God, would you heal me? Would you begin to heal me? Now, for some of you, you know what? I'm going to ask you as we start to sing to make a physical step. I'm going to ask you if you're saying, that's me, I've got some disposable rubbish. God, I want to lay it before your feet and I want you to begin to heal my life or continue to bring this healing process. I want you maybe just to come to the front. If you can kneel, maybe kneel just here. And that's just a faith step of, God, I'm stepping out this morning. I'm stepping out, God. I'm bringing my hurt to the front. And God, I'm giving it to you. You're not giving it to me. You're giving it to Jesus. You understand? And then there are others amongst you that had never realized that the hurt that you suffered, the hurt that maybe you still carry, is usable treasure. It's usable stuff for the glory of God. And for some of you, you know, this isn't just about your healing. This is about others. Everyone say others. This is about other people. This is about, God, me using my pain to help someone else through their pain. Helping them to the next level in that. I want to say that there are some grace stories waiting to be told. I want us to sing. And if you feel that that's what you want to do, you don't have to do that. But if you feel you want to do that, you feel you want to do that where you are and just lift your hands and give it to God there, cool. But if you want to make that physical step and saying, you know what, I'm just going to come to the front because that's me saying I'm bringing it to you, Jesus, and laying it at your feet, I want you to do it. And if you're one of the others who is saying, because it's kind of all mixed together here, that you're saying, do you know what, God, I want my life to be a trophy of grace. I want my pain to help other people. God, I need your healing in my pain, but I'm not kind of keeping this to myself anymore. I'm going to not hurt people with my hurt. I'm going to bless people through my hurt. If you feel like that, then I want you to come forward as well. Let's sing and let's honor and let's worship God as we sing together. Come on, band.
Set my feet on solid ground.
Okay, this is what I want us to do. So, still people coming out, feel free. There's room on this side, some room near the front at this side as well. Don't let that put you off that you think there's no room. There is. You want to make your way up. I'd like you just to lift the lights up, please. Just slightly so people can see where they're walking. Can you do that, guys? Can you do that quickly? Just lift the lights. Okay, so there's some people at the front. And what I want you are the church. Come on. So why don't you just come and minister to these people, right? Why don't you just come and even just, you know, I'm not talking about intruding in their life. I'm talking about maybe just coming and laying your hands on them and just quietly praying for them. And begin, here's what to pray. Begin to pray the healing of Jesus in their lives. Because there'll be some here who need that healing for them right now. Yeah? Some for disposable stuff. They need to get rid of some stuff and they've come to kind of lay it at the feet of Jesus. So I want you to pray that. There are others that are coming to say, do you know what, I'm not going to be a victim in this. They're like the ones who've already come out. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to walk and I'm going to be a trophy of grace. I'm going to bless people through my hurt. I'm going to touch people through what's happened to me. I'm going to help them on the journey. Some of you have been like that out there and you've come through the other end and you're rejoicing. I want you to come and pray for some of these, okay? You know who you are. Would you come and do that now? And for others, if you want to make your way to the front, that's fine. But let's continue to sing just for a few minutes and minister. You guys that are out there that are not doing that, sing these words and pray for these people where you are, okay? Minister to them. We say, come Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing. That's right, guys. Come forward, feel free. Come and just lay hands on them. We need some more people around the front here. Come on, guys. That's it. Okay, Andy, thanks.
My soul sing, how great you are, Lord. My soul sings, how great you are, Lord.
Come on, sing it. My soul sings.
My soul sings, how great you are, Lord. My soul sings. You are Lord, my soul sings. I'll greet you, our Lord. My soul sings. I'll greet you, our Lord.
Touch them.
How great you are, Lord.
Come on, everyone, sing in my soul.
My soul sings.
How great.
How great you are.
Come on, keep singing that refrain. Sing to the glory of God.
My soul sings.
Yes, Lord.
Bring
release, Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus.
My soul,
Lord, continue your healing.
It does.
Just how great you are, Lord.
Son and Spirit, my Lord. Okay, just as we're stood in God's presence and just our heads bowed, maybe just as we're stood in His presence, stay standing, that's fine, just for a few moments. Conscious, always consciously aware that people visit us from all over the place. You may be in for the first time. You may have been coming here for a good while, but you're saying, you know what? I don't know God. I don't know God in the way that these people know God. I want to know God. I need forgiveness in my life. I need to know Jesus. I need to know His forgiveness. You talked about His healing, but I need His forgiveness. And if you're like that and you're saying, God, I want to receive you into my life today. Just as we're stood in His presence, I'm looking around, heads are bowed. I don't want to embarrass you this morning. But if you're saying, do you know what? Dave, would you pray for me where you stood on that platform? Because I need to know God myself. Would you lift your hand now where you are? Just lift it up and then take it down. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Somebody else, you're saying, yeah, that's me. I feel like that. Thank you. I see you right back there. Thank you. Anybody else? You're saying, God, I need you. I need you in my world. Yeah, I see you down there. Thank you. Anyone else? Isn't this great? Knowing God. Father, I pray in the name of Christ for every hand that's lifted. Lord, would you do a divine exchange right now? Jesus, would you enter their worlds? Lord, as they open their hearts. Dude, guys who've lifted your hands, just open your heart to God now and say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life, Jesus. I only need to say it quietly. Jesus, come into my world. Come and forgive me, Jesus. Come and make the difference in my world. And that's what He does. That's what He does very well. Changes lives. And so we thank Jesus for you this morning. We thank Jesus for you. Let me tell you something. We're going to close in a moment. But let me just tell you this. God never wastes a hurt. He's not into wasting them. He wants to use them for good. And I know there's all kinds of hurt and pain that's in here. And some of you just need the continued hand of Jesus on your life to bring healing. I know that. There's times sometimes we've just got to soak in the presence of God and let Him heal us. Sometimes God instantaneously just heals us and we can move on. And like those of you who've come just to dispose of some stuff, what you mustn't do is carry it away when you go. You must leave it at the feet of Jesus. But, you know, some of you may have heard of this guy, Robert Shuler. He's quite a character. He said this, tough times never last, but tough people do. There you go. He said that we will make it through the valleys as long as we don't quit. As long as we don't quit. Cool. Do you know what? I think we should just give it up massively for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you think? Come on, give it up for Him.